Okay, we are in chapter 10 of Shaar Yichud V'Emunah. It's on page 329-330. And these last chapters, 10, 11, 12, the goal of the Alter Rebbe, the author, is to conglomerate the first six chapters with chapters 7, 8, and 9. The first six chapters talked about God's perspective of creation, that the only thing that exists is Hashem. Mm. And that physical matter is nothing more than compressed godliness. And for Hashem, that's all there is just godliness. In 7, 8, and 9, we approach the subject from our perspective, that we do indeed exist as separate entities from Hashem. And so now in these chapters here, he's going to purport how it is that both statements can be true. How the only thing that exists is God, and how we also can exist as separate entities. So he says, since the Torah uses a vernacular, in order that we can at least know what it is, what we're talking about, because we're going to talk in God's, if you're going to use terminology that only God understands, then what's going to be? Then only God will understand.
Only God understands, yes.
Mashahu yachayol ishmael, that was able to understand. Lekach nitin rishus lechachmei ha'emes, ledaber besviris, bederach mashal, vikara oisin oris. Therefore, the sages of the Kabbalah, he says, were given permission, meaning like Moshe came down the mountain and said, by the way, if you want to talk about God, and you want to talk about God attributes and what God does, the terminology that you're going to use is the word sphere, as in sphere of influence, not round. Even though in all the diagrams from all those basic Kabbalah books, the spheres are round.
Yes.
But that...
Well, sphere on square.
Yeah, sphere R square, yes. No, the word sphere here, then, in essence, relates more to the word like sphere of influence. It's an expression of consciousness.
Yes.
God's kindness is not round. God's kindness is an expression, which we relate to as kindness. And it also called Eros. What's the deal with Eros? With light. We call these the 10 spheres or the 10 lights. The example of light, there's actually a very good essay in the back of the Tanya written by Emanuel Schochet, which he eventually developed into a 3-volume book on Hasidic concepts. Not just that one essay, but all these other things. And he says there are there are points of comparability between godliness and light.
Okay.
Things such as, for example, light establishes existence. You see things and therefore you know that they're there.
Right.
Okay, godliness establishes existence. The godliness comes down into the thing and clothes in it, and therefore it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, light is something which has no real measurable dimensions. I mean, they have spectrography, you can tell what frequency it's going on, what wavelength it is.
Right.
But the length of the wave itself is infinite.
Right.
And we are measuring light waves that are coming purportedly from 13 billion light years away.
Right.
Okay, so the light just keeps going and going and going.
Yes.
As the godliness just keeps on going and going and going. And there are, I think, I don't know, a half a dozen or so points of comparison that Rabbi Schochet brings.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Kidei shal yedei hamashal hazeh yuvin lana kitzas inyan hayichud shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu umidosav. So that we can understand a little bit the means by which Hashem is unified with His attributes. Shehu b'derech mashal k'ein yichud or HaShemesh b'teich kader HaShemesh. We brought this example before in chapter 4 of the sun ray in the sun. Okay, and we say that Hashem is representative, analogous to the sun, and the godliness which has effulged and is therefore enlivening our world is analogous to a sun ray. So, and then we said, we came to the conclusion back in chapter 4, that our relationship with Hashem is not like a sun ray as has been emitted. Our relationship with Hashem is like a sun ray while it's still within the sun. Okay? But now the point is here, since we're in chapter 10, we're not in chapter 4, our emphasis is our existence.
Yes.
Shenikra Mar, that the sun is called the illuminator. Kamo Shekosev Es Hamar HaGadol, as it's called the great illuminator. And just as a side point, if you ever worry that the sun is going to stop shining sometime in any future, yeah, don't lose sleep over it.
Don't sweat it.
Yeah, because the sun's not burning up. Scientists don't have a term for what the sun is really actually doing.
Right.
You know, they say that there's energy which is being released, and since there's energy for that's being released, so there must be a source which is producing the energy.
Right.
And eventually that source is going to
go away,
get used up, and then the sun is going to supernova. It's going to turn into a brown dwarf and then a little black hole.
Right.
And then we'll just all implode into it, and that'll be the end of us.
Right.
But it's not true, because the sun is not the great energy producer. It's not the great thing on fire. It's the great illuminator. All it is doing is producing light.
Yes.
The means by which it's producing light really is irrelevant, because as long as there is time, there will be the great illuminator.
Correct.
So nothing to worry about the sun burning out.
Right.
You can all sleep easy tonight.
Right. When time ceases to exist,
so will the sun. But you're not going to have anything to worry about.
My guess is if time ceases, then the rest of it doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter at any that point either, you know. Yeah. So it's like I was telling somebody on December 21st that was really worried about the Mayan apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I told them, I could really use a good apocalypse right now. It would be awesome if the thing would just be all over and that would be it, and we'd be done.
Yeah.
And I'd be fine with it. That'd be just great. You know, if that's the way it's supposed to be, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen, and
that meteor was only 10 tons.
We're still here.
We're still here.
Now I'm still obligated to work.
Yeah. Vahaziva hanitzis hamispashit umer mena nikra or. And the godliness, we're talking about the sun, this little spark, this ray which is gets generated off of the sun, we call that sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
As it says that Hashem called to the or, he called that day. Okay, that or that he was talking about over there was the effulgence of godliness, which was apparent on the first day of creation. And when it is that the sun ray is in its source, in the body of the sun, it is totally and completely united with it. And we talked about this at great length in chapter 4,
right,
such that you can't recognize its existence. You just could see the sun because it hasn't been emitted yet. We do know it's there because, at least through indirect reasoning, if it's here and has a source, it must exist in its source.
Yeah.
The aim, turning page, aim shemrak etzem echad shehu guf hamar. The only thing that's there, though, is just the body of this illuminator, which is illuminating. Ki haziva or shem etzem echad mamish, because the word ziv, ray, and or, light, is basically it's the same thing, and it's one thing together with the guf hamar hamer. It becomes totally and completely one in part and parcel with the sun. Before it's been emitted, there's nothing there but sun. And if you really want to go hear more about this, go back and listen to chapter 4 on the posted website, rabbifinman.com. Ve'ein lo shum metzias klal b'fnei asmai, and it has no existence of itself. So it's actually interesting. The Alter Rebbe spends a lot of time talking about this example of the sun ray and the sun, and eventually what he does is just say, oh, and by the way, that example doesn't fit at all. Because ultimately the best example you have is going to be poor. Because we're talking about Hashem. Hashem is a true infinity, and we have no example for true infinity. We have comparable infinities. That's all we have. That's the best we can do. So any example that we're going to come up with is going to be really bad, to the point where the Alter Rebbe says, it's not like that at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he's been talking for pages about how it is like that, but it's the best we could do.
Right.
Because And if you can imagine what the sun ray is like in its relationship with the sun before it's emitted, so he says it's exactly the same thing with Hashem and his actor and his characteristics. With the world, in the world of Atzilus. Now the world of Atzilus, and how much more so before the world of Atzilus. Now the world of Atzilus is defined. Everything is very set and ordered. Right, it's right, the right. World of Tikkun, which means the world of order.
Yes, yes.
And Chachma is where Chachma goes, and Bina is where Bina goes, and Chesed and Das and all those other, they all go specifically where they're supposed to go, and they don't infringe on anybody else's turf.
Right.
Okay, but nonetheless, each one is an infinite expression of godliness. Okay, godliness at this point would be sort of like adjectival as opposed to nominative.
Yeah.
It's kindness. It's the ultimate kind expression of godliness.
Mm.
And severity is the ultimate expression of divine severeness.
Mm-hmm.
And even as an expression, a limited expression, that it's only kindness, it's still conveying that infiniteness with Hashem. Okay, so the world of Atzilus is really, it's an oxymoron.
Mm.
Because every aspect of the world of Atzilus is infinite,
right.
Because it is totally, completely united with the Creator, but each aspect is defined and therefore limited.
Right, correct.
It's limited. This is Chesed, it's not Gevurah.
Right.
Okay, but it's infinite. So that means that each aspect of it, even the limitations, are totally and completely united with Hashem.
Right.
That's the chiddush, that's the nuance of the world of Atzilus. When it says in the Zohar, okay, Ihu v'chayehu chad, we can understand. Hashem with the life that is enlivening the world, which is, it maintains its infinite characteristics. We understand how it is that Hashem's united with it. But the vehicle by which it's conveyed that infiniteness, is also comprised of Hashem. It's compressed Hashem,
right.
And it's contained, and it's therefore contains limitations, but because it can contain infinity, Hashem's true aspect of infinite kindness, so it maintains its integrity also in being infinite in its limitation. And that statement makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Okay? That something can maintain its infiniteness in its limitation.
Yes.
And when he says, the Rambam says you're never going to get there from here. He says that each of the attributes of Hashem, of the world of Atzilus, is totally, completely united with the essence and being, so to speak, of Hashem, which is enclosed in them, and united with them, in an ultimate unity. And why is it that the spheres of Atzilus maintain their infinite integrity? Is because they're drawn directly from the essence of Hashem. It has to go through the creation process, yes, such that we mentioned last week.
They're in the sun.
We mentioned last week that there's a greater point of comparability to this physical world and the world of Atzilus than there is to the Atzilus and the essence of Hashem.
Right, sure, of course.
Because we're both created entities.
Right.
The same way with the sun ray and the sun. Now here's where he drops the bomb. But it doesn't happen this way. Like, not at all. But it's totally, completely beyond our comprehension. Because his ways are higher than our ways. And we just put it in. And we give this example in order that we should be able to sit and talk about it. Why this example came up.
Right.
Because if nobody's going to talk about it, then what are we doing here?
Exactly.
We're for sure not going to be able to talk about it.
Right.
But everything, this ray is totally nullified in its source. Ve'ena oila b'shem klal b'fnei atzman. It's not called a separate name by itself. Rak shem makor levada. The only thing that's there is its source. So, ultimately speaking, even though we are in chapter 10, The only thing that really truly does exist is Hashem.
It's chapter 4.
Yes. But given that,
we have
a true existence as well.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah.
Stick around for chapter 11. So as it is with every attribute of Hashem, anytime you're going to call Hashem anything, refer to Hashem doing anything, that's so that we can get a handle on it. As only as far as we're concerned. That Hashem directs everything according to the way He wants it and thinks it should be. And as this is conveyed in Hashem's attributes, as it's brought down in the Medrash, that Hashem used 10 things to create the world. What were they? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, etc. In the beginning of the fifth parak of Perkei Avos, I don't know if you mentioned this before. So it says that the world was created with 10 utterances. Oh, it says the world could have been created with one utterance. So now you could ask the question, if Hashem wanted to create the world with one utterance, what would the one utterance be? Got a clue? If you were God.
Let there be.
Let there be, exactly.
Let there be.
Yeah. Let there be a creation. Exactly.
Let there be.
Yeah. So now, but what's the problem in doing it that way? There would be nothing left to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be a little difficult.
We would have no ability to relate to it because it would be, first, it doesn't exist, and then it does exist.
And
there would be a total gap between creator and created. Hmm. Like this at Hashem set up the creation process.
Right, yeah.
This, as it says quite clearly in the Zohar, "Begain the Ishta Maiden Bay," in order that we should know Him. We should have jargon to be able to relate to Hashem as creator.
Yeah.
That's why Hashem went through this whole creation process. Okay, because Hashem could have done it in any other. Hashem could have done it in any infinite number of ways to make the world come into existence. And would it have existed exactly the way it exists now? Yes, absolutely, 100%. It would be existing the absolute way, but there would be the nuances. So, well, why is it created that way?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I mean the answer that a person who's not familiar with esoteric knowledge would say as to why is it that God created the world this way, why didn't He create it another way? The answer would be, well, if He created it another way, you'd ask, well, why did He create it that way, not another way? So obviously Hashem wanted it to be this way because it's the way it is. And we can now, Baruch Hashem, relate to a creator. Hmm. Tahimus Nifko, Kamaimer Eliyahu, Dafikus Eser Tekunin, Vikaranin Lohain Eser Sefirin, Lanhaga Bahain Almim, Zestimim, Deloyes Galim. Eliyahu said, this is in the Pasuk Eliyahu that we say on Friday afternoon, that Hashem made 10 fixings, takina you could call it, jewelry, 10 adornments.
He wants to use a garment here.
Garments, Tekunin, okay, something to fix you up.
Yeah.
The word tikkun comes to fix up. And He called them the 10 spheres. And with the 10 spheres, Hashem directs all of the worlds. Mm. Which worlds? The concealed worlds that are not revealed. And He also directs the revealed worlds. What's a revealed world? We happen to live in a revealed world.
That's hidden.
What's a concealed world? Any world that we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a concealed considered a hidden world? And in those worlds, Hashem is able to hide Himself. So that right now, where is the infiniteness of Hashem? Since it is that you have, this is, in the world of Atzilus, what do you have? You have the sphere of chesed, kindness. And what's contained in the sphere of kindness is a totality of the kindness of Hashem in full infiniteness, right? So therefore, in any three-dimensional object, what's contained within that three-dimensional? Before I do that, is the sphere of Atzilus limited We said yes, it's limited because it's by it's definition created. It's limited to being kindness. That's its only limitation. It's an infinite expression of kindness, but it's limited to being kindness. So now, through the creation process, we have diminution and containment and contraction, etc., and processing, and it goes around and around and comes out here.
MSG. Yeah.
What we have now is any three-dimensional object also contains the same infiniteness of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a three-dimensional object. So every three-dimensional object, the world which we live in, is a vehicle for conveying Hashem's infiniteness.
Right.
You could say, and we've said it before, that what are we here for? We're here to bring out the infiniteness in everything. To you, that's called utilization. That's called the buzzword, tikkun olam. And I've said many times, I've said it on this platform many times, that tikkun olam doesn't mean going into inner cities and fixing up houses. That's a nice thing to do, but that's not what the Kabbalah refers to as the expression, where the expression comes from. Tikkun olam. Tikkun olam means to put the world right through recognizing the infiniteness in it. Like, for example, you take the first day of creation. Niglas midas hachesed kalula mikol midos of hakadusha v'ritzon v'chachmas v'binas v'dayta malushim bo. You have the sphere of kindness. God said, let there be light. Light is an expression of God's kindness. God's kindness is manifest in this world in many ways. It's manifest as light. It's manifest as sugar. It's manifest itself as a smile. Okay, all kinds. It's manifest as water. All kinds of manifestations of kindness,
mm-hmm.
because it's anything the person is drawn towards is an expression of kindness. Mm-hmm. And indeed, the infiniteness of Hashem is contained. But what we want to say over here is that kindness itself is a composite. It's composed of all 10 spheres. We know that from the counting the spheros between Pesach and Shavuos.
Yes.
That kindness is comprised of kindness and kindness, and severity of kindness, and beauty of kindness, etc., etc., etc. It's also comprised, even though you don't count it, of the will of kindness, and a wisdom of kindness, understanding of kindness, knowledge of kindness. It's a full composition. And that is because it's kindness, so light was able to come into existence. Or as it says that there should be light. Because the expression yihi, it should be. There's already a drawing down. There's a derivative there. When you say yihi, it should be. It wasn't till now. But from now on, it should be.
Mm.
So that means that something has to come into existence.
Okay.
And that's just a ray that is drawn down into this world from above, and it spreads out into this world from one end of the world to the other, from end of the world to the other. As it says that when Adam was first created,
mm-hmm.
he could see the full spectrum of creation.
Mm.
Okay, now. So it's what it says is Me'seifa Olamat Seifa, from one end of the world to the other end of the world.
Right.
Does that mean that he could see what was doing out on Alpha Centaurus? Yeah, could be. Does it mean that he could see what was doing in Atsilus and Brionette? Yeah, for sure did.
For sure, that for sure.
Yeah. Okay, that's for sure, because we know the one book that Adam wrote, which is called Radzil HaMalach, was dictated to him by some angel dude.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah. You don't have a copy of Radzil HaMalach in your house?
No, I don't. Yeah.
You can go into the local bookstore over here, Bornstein's, and
pick it up.
He has in his back drawers over there.
Uh-huh.
He's got these little drawers that have like yarmulkes, and he's got
right.
And Hanukkah wicks. So in one drawer are pocket editions of Radzil HaMalach.
Pocket editions.
Pocket editions.
Now, what are you going to do with a pocket edition?
Put it in your pocket.
Pocket edition.
No one ever reads it anyway. You buy one for your car, you buy one for your house, and it says on the front cover it's because Adam was afraid to write things down lest somebody look at it and say, oh, that louse Adam, he was the one who messed it up. This book is going to get burnt. So the angel promised him that it, not only is it that this book is never going to get burnt, but any place where this book is not going to get burnt. So it's fire insurance. You should give one out with every installation there, Mr.
Shaw. Okay, yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, I need to be putting those in the fire alarm panels. You bet.
That's right.
Yeah, although it'll put me out of a job, but that's okay. No problem.
Well, you don't care if there's a fire or not. You just want to install the panel.
I'd rather. Well, it's one of those pieces of equipment you never want to use.
Right. Ever. Exactly. Ever. Yeah. So. But they get old and they get antiquated and you replace them. Exactly. So you get a new one. The book is still the same. The book is the same for 5,700 years.
Get the panels. Yeah, I can just pass out books.
I don't have a panel in my house and you don't have a panel in your house.
Exactly.
So I got the book. Oh. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, we do.
So he was able to see from one end of the world to the other because he was able to tap into the godliness. He was like riding the wave.
Yeah, yeah.
According to the theory that light is a wave. So if it's a wave, you should be able to surf it, right? Adam was able.
He got the right kind of board, I guess.
That's right. Adam was able to surf light waves.
Yeah.
And he was ready.
Best board of all of them.
He was ready. He was ready to go. He was. He had the big one over there.
It's the strings, man. It's the strings.
Yeah.
That's it.
He had the big one. Shehubachinus midas chesed, which that's the attribute of kindness, which is this light. Mimesha kalula gama midas gevura. And in it is also concluded limitation, because any light beam has to have limitations. Otherwise, it's not going to be light. It's got to. It will be an undefined entity, right, and will be totally functionless.
Yeah.
So you need to have the limitations.
The gamita
mita gevuros, and so it is also with gevura. When Hashem said, "Let there be space," so there's also kindness involved over there, because even though the space was totally incomplete, limitations and parameters defining,
yeah,
that this is as far as it goes,
yeah,
but the whole purpose was in order to put stuff in. So it's also got kindness in it.
You imagine you without space? You'd be everywhere.
I'm big enough as is, thank you very much. Lachen lo hayeruchnik. Yeah, lachin lo hayeruch nikor shomayla mamish. Therefore, it is not as spiritual as this light which is above. Therefore, gami slavish boilam is that which is enclosed in this world. Shuvin is gvul v'tachlis, which this comes into this world, and by the time it gets into this world, it's no longer infinitely infinite. It's finite.
Finitely infinite.
Yeah. And we get a finite world. The world is finite. Shehu mahalak tafkuv shanim ha'aretz l'rekiyam ha'mizrach l'mayriv. And the world is 500 years walk. And between each world is 500 years walk. That's a limitation. The came b'yayim sheni niglas midas gevura kalula mishar midas v'retzayna bo yobara bo ha'rekiya. And so through this on the second day, when there was just Hashem's gevura, excuse me, that there was a space over there. He put the top on the top. He put the bottom on the bottom. In order to, and what happened then is that the bottom became the physical world and the top remained spiritual.
Yeah.
And included in that gevura, included in that containment, like I just said, was also the attribute of kindness. Because the world, which the word world means hidden, concealed, limitation, is built on kindness. Even though what you're looking at is limitation, but it's an expression of Hashem's kindness. That's how we answer the question that there's only one Hashem. Even though we're saying Hashem Elokeinu, there's the giving power of Hashem. He's going to talk about this in chapter 12. There's the limitation of it. Shakol kedeshi shetira hayabashiv adam aleha la'avid Hashem. And all that was for what purpose? That you should have dry land, and you should have people on it, and there should be what for the people to eat, and we should be able, therefore, to do what? To serve Hashem. V'kein kulin, and so to everything else that was created. V'zeshe kosev eliyahu b'tikunim sham l'choze eich inahig oylem b'tzedek u'mishpat. That the worlds were grasped with righteousness and judgment. Tzedek iudin mishpat ihu rachamim. Tzedek, when righteousness is judgment, meaning like the final verdict, and mishpat, judgment, this is brachmanis, mercy. And in order that it should all be grasped, how the world exists. But as Eliyahu concludes over there, but how Hashem's doing this world, we haven't got a clue. Because Hashem's righteous, but not with a righteousness that we know about. And he is judgment, but not with a judgment that we know about, because Hashem has no attributes whatsoever.
Right.
And so this is leading us indirectly. Actually, this is the middle of a sentence at this point. But since the Alter Rebbe broke it into chapters, we will stop here. To be continued.